Shalom and welcome to another program of Jewish Soul Music. This is Charlie Bernhout. This particular production will deal with the Yom HaShoah, a remembrance of the Holocaust. I am taking the prerogative to go back a few years. Actually, 40 years ago, we'll be listening to a program from April 30th, 1981. That's 40 years ago. I was 45 years old at the time. And here I am, 85, well, April 27th. And it's staggering to think of that the time has gone by so. And I guess if you're 40 or 50 years old, you never had a chance to listen to this particular production. Or any of my recordings from the 70s and the 80s. In any event, this will be a commemoration for the Yom HaShoah, for the Holocaust. And the opening item is from an oratorio called Yizkor, and Richard Tucker was the lead singer. So, this I'm recording from tapes, which takes its toll, and it doesn't have the crispness, but I think that you'll get most of the music. So without further ado, let's go back 40 years ago to April 30th, 1981.
We'll be playing music that was written in the ghetto and music that was written to commemorate the events of the Holocaust. In the background, we hear the introduction to Yizkor, which was an oratorio written by Sholom Sukunda, presented in 1967 at Temple Beth El in Rochester, New York. We'll hear Richard Tucker and Howard Da Silva, and the first few words are Yizkor, remember. We'll hear about 4 or 5 minutes of the introduction of this oratorio, and we'll get into some other music. I'm here at 201-762-8950. This is Charlie Bernhout. I'll be happy to take your phone calls this evening. 201-762-8950.
Hey, culture, shame, respect. Of those with breath still in there. Remember my yard sight, remember my name, remember. So we shall remember. At least this once more. We will burn again. Six black capers and stand before.
Remember our gray sadness, Yizkor. Remember, this was a rather powerful, very, very powerful oratorio that was presented several years ago. Perhaps we'll be able to play more of this oratorio in the future. There was a collection of poems that was put together into a dramatic presentation of music by the Columbus Boy Choir of Princeton. It's called I Never Saw Another Butterfly. I Never Saw Another Butterfly is the musical adaptation by Charles Davidson of poems and writings and sketches of children in Terezin concentration camp during World War II. A total of 15,000 children under the age of 15 passed through Terezin between the years 1942 and 1944. Here on this record, in this heartbreaking combination of word and song, we see reflected not only the daily misery of these uprooted children, but a degree of courage and optimism that is their triumph. Terezin was actually called a ghetto, supposed to be a model camp to which visitors were shown. But every one of its inhabitants was condemned in advance to die. We'll hear two selections from this record. One is Standing in Line, and the other is The Butterfly. And the last few words of the selection, The Butterfly, it ends with these words. Only I never saw another butterfly. That butterfly was the last one. Butterflies don't live in here, in the ghetto. This is the Columbus Boys Choir of Princeton.
We got used to standing in line at 7 o'clock in the morning, at 12 noon, and again at 7 o'clock in the evening. We stood in a long queue with a plate in our hand, into which they ladled a little warmed-up water with a salty or a coffee flavor, or else they gave us a few potatoes. We got used to sleeping without a bed, to saluting every uniform, not to walk on the sidewalks, and then again to walk on the sidewalks. We got used to undeserved slaps, blows, and executions. We got accustomed to seeing people die in their own excrement, to seeing piled up coffins full of corpses, to seeing the sick amidst dirt and filth, and to seeing the helpless doctors. We got used to that from time to time. 1,000 unhappy souls would come here. And that, from time to time, another 1,000 unhappy souls would go away.
Perhaps if the sun stays, we'll sing against it.
I Never Saw Another Butterfly by the Columbus Boy Choir of Princeton. This Sunday evening, May 3rd, author Lucy DeWittowitz, who wrote War Against the Jews and a Holocaust Reader, will appear at Congregation B'nai Israel in Millburn, New Jersey. This is jointly sponsored by Congregation B'nai Israel, the National Council of Jewish Women, Hadassah, and B'nai B'rith, all of Millburn Short Hills. There'll be a memorial service at 7 p.m. and a lecture at 7:30. All are invited. There is no admission charge. That's to hear Lucy DeWittowitz this Sunday evening, May 3rd, at Congregation B'nai Israel on Millburn Avenue in Millburn, New Jersey. One other announcement. Larry Gordon will be back on the air. That will be starting on May 18th, every evening. Formerly, it was WEVD, it's now WNYM, 1330 AM. It'll be 4 hours of Jewish programming every evening except Friday. And I'll be having some special guest appearances with Larry. We'll let you know more about that. That's six nights a week, starting on May 18th. Formerly WEVD, and it's now WNYM, 1330 AM. Interesting show, and 5,000 watts, it will reach Connecticut. How about that? We'll really get around. And not only do we remember the Holocaust during this period, but the Jews have had many Holocausts. And this particular song, the next one, the Milner's Tränen, the Miller's Tears, was written to commemorate the expulsion of the Jews from their villages in Tsarist Russia. Oh, how many years have I worked as a miller here? The wheels turn, the years pass, and I am getting old and gray. They will evict me from the village. Where will I live? Who will take care of me? I am old and weak. The wheels keep turning, the years keep passing, and soon no trace of the Jews will remain. Der Milner's Tränen.
Oy, di fluren zenen farfuren seit ich bin im Milner auf Hadu. Die Räder drehen sich, die Juren gehen sich, ich bin schon alt in greisen Grund. Die Räder drehen sich, die Juren gehen sich, ich bin schon alt im greisen Grund. Sie steigt voran, ach will sich der Mann, sie hab gehabt, hast die Glück. Die Räder drehen sich, die Juren gehen sich, kein End verriesen nicht du zerrieb. Die Räder drehen sich, die Juren gehen sich, kein End verriesen nicht du zerrieb. Hab gehört suchen, mir will mich verjugen, a reus fin darf in fin der mir. Der Eider drehen sich, die Uhren gehen sich, ui una neck nun a zieh. Die Eider drehen sich, die Uhren gehen sich, oi una nec nun a zieh. Find ich vertrieben, bin ich geblieben, und Weib und Kind, a du allein. Dreidel drehen sie, meine Juren gehen sie, in einem Bille wie Stein. Die Räder drehen sie, die Juren gehen sie, in einem Bille wie Stein. Wie will ich weinen, wer wird mich scheunen? Ich bin schon alt, ich bin schon mir. Der Räder drehen sie, die Juren gehen sie, in euch mit sei geht euch drin. Die Räder drehen sich, die Juren gehen sich, in euch mit sei geht euch drin.
Fredel Oischer with the Milner's Thrarin. Next we'll hear Sidor Belarski with Moishelech Shloimelech, which is a dirge on the death of the Jewish children in Poland. No longer do they play under the trees and in the bushes. Moishelech and Shloimelech, Saralech and Leilech. The sound of their laughter has been silenced. The house of Israel in Poland has lost its children. Only here and there do lonely children who survived still hide in holes, covering, crazed by terror, with a fear of death in their eyes. Moishelech, Shloimelech.
Mit die nicht grellte, zitterte zurallach von mir beweisen, Wunder im
Sidor Belorsky with Moishalich Shloimelich. I'd like to remind you that this Sunday evening, May 3rd, Lucy Derutowitz will be a guest speaker at Congregation Bnei Israel. She's the author of War Against the Jews and a Holocaust Reader. That's this Sunday evening, a memorial service at 7 p.m., lecture at 7:30, sponsored by Congregation Bnei Israel, National Council of Jewish Women, Hadassah, and Bnei B'rith. Also on May 17th, Sunday evening at 8 p.m., 2 weeks thereafter, Temple B'nai Israel in Irvington, New Jersey, will present cantors Moshe Stern and Tibor Kellen. There'll be reserved seats, so you can give us a call here or call the temple. That's Temple B'nai Israel in Irvington, New Jersey. A terrific evening. If you haven't heard either of these cantors before, I guarantee a very, very special, special treat. Also, this coming Monday evening, Yavne, the Jewish National Religious Organization, will present a kumzitz for single people ages 18 to 30 at the Loeb Student Center, 566 LaGuardia Place, room 517. That's on the corner of West 4th Street in the village, $1 admission. A kumzitz for single people this Monday evening, 8 to 10 in the evening, sponsored by Yavne. Next, we will hear a rather interesting part of a speech of a very, very interesting speaker. The talk was entitled Never Again. Let's just hear a few minutes of a rather interesting interpretation of Jewish history.
Somewhere in the USSR, there lives a young boy of 17 by the name of Volodenka. And Volodenka became famous 5 years ago, when a Yiddish journalist returned from the Soviet Union and brought back his story and that of his grandfather. The Yiddish journalist was in the city of Kiev in the Ukraine. And on the Sabbath, he went to the one synagogue left in Kiev to see what Judaism and Jewry were in the Soviet Union, in the Ukraine. And when he returned, he told of what happened on that Sabbath in Kiev. As he was sitting, from behind him, he heard the voice of a Jew with his tallis, his prayer shawl over his head, whispering to him in Yiddish. And the Jew said to him, "Rabbi Yid, don't turn around. I have something to tell you." And what he told him was the following. He told him that he had lost his entire family during the war, except for one son, who in turn had a son of his own, a young boy of 12 by the name of Valadenka. Until the age of 6, the grandfather would take Valadenka to synagogue every Shabbat. And then Valadenka began to go to school, and the teacher found out that he went to synagogue. And he made him stand before the class, and he shamed him. And from that moment on, Valadenka refused to go to synagogue. And now he was 12 years old. A bar mitzvah was coming. And the grandfather whispered how much he wanted his grandson to have a bar mitzvah. But he knew that it could not be. And so he told the journalist, "When you go back home, don't be quiet. Shake the world. Shake it so that my Valadenka will be a Jew." We did not shake the world. From 1917 to 1964, we did not even hold one street protest for Soviet Jewry in this country. 47 years of silence in the streets. I understand that it takes Jewish organizations time to make a decision. In general, when a resolution comes up, it's brought before a study committee, which studies it and studies it and studies it. It is then passed down to a subcommittee, and then to the committee. And it takes time to decide to do things. But 47 years is a little too much even for Jewish organizations. For 47 years we were silent, just as we were silent 30 years ago. Many of you in this room remember how in 1939, a ship sailed out of Hamburg, Germany. The ship was called the St. Louis. And on the ship were Jews, more than 900 Jews, who managed to get out of Hitler's Germany in time. They were among the last Jews to get out. There was only one country in the entire world that was willing to take them in, and that was Cuba. So they sailed for Cuba. And it was only when they arrived in Cuba that they realized that they were told that their entry visas were illegal. And they were told that they would have to go home, home to Hitler. And there began a great drama. The Jews stayed on the ship, anchored 90 miles away from Miami Beach, where other Jews were enjoying freedom. along Collins Avenue. And our Jewish leaders went to the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, for whom every Jew voted, for whom every Jew wept when he died, but for whom they will build no monuments in Israel. And they went to Franklin Roosevelt and they pleaded with him to jeopardize the safety of the Republic by allowing 900 Jews to come in over and above the quota. And Franklin Roosevelt, ever vigilant for the safety of the Republic, said it could not be done. There were laws here, there were quotas, and the German quota was filled. And the Jews pleaded with him to mortgage the quota to future years. Mortgage it to 1970. And the president said, I cannot bend the law. And so he didn't. The president went home. Our Jewish leaders went home. And the Jews on the St. Louis went home. I know rabbis who were arrested in Selma, Alabama, for civil rights. I don't know any rabbis who, when it was a question not of civil rights, but of Jewish lives, decided to spotlight the tragedy of Jews by breaking the law in Washington, D.C. And 4 years later, when we Jews learn that there exists a place on this earth called Auschwitz, where every 24 hours, between sunrise and sunrise, 12,000 Jews are killed, and when we knew that this place existed, we again went to the president with a concrete plan to save these Jews. And our Jewish leaders went to him and they said, you can save hundreds of thousands of lives if you will only bomb the rail lines leading to Auschwitz. And they presented him with the maps given by the Czech underground, the maps of the death camp and of the rail lines and of the bridges. And the President of the United States, whose bombers bombed everything on this earth that moved, said that for technical reasons, it would be unable to bomb the rail lines leading to Auschwitz. And so the president went home, and our Jewish leaders went home, and 2.5 million Jews died in Auschwitz. Do we have any complaints to the Roosevelts of the world? If we are, we're fools. If a Jew still believes that the Roosevelts of the world will help Jews, if one believes this, he's a fool. We have no complaints to those people from whom we expect little or nothing. At whom should we direct our complaints? At those from whom we had a right to expect more. I know Jewish leaders who were freedom riders in Mississippi and who proudly and who eagerly and who gladly broke the law. The immoral law. I don't know of a single Jewish leader who chained himself to the White House gates or who called 100,000 Jews into the streets of Washington, D.C. to sit in the streets and not to move until the rail lines are bombed. I don't know of Jewish leaders who had the decency of black leaders who, when their people were denied civil rights and human rights, and when their problems were not gas chambers, but their problems were inequality of education and employment, went into the streets and defied the immoral law, and they won. I don't know any Jews or any Jewish leaders that did this when every day 12,000 Jews went to the gas chambers. And no Jewish leader and no Jewish organization can honestly and truthfully say our hands have not had a share in the shedding of that blood. We were silent then, and we were silent for all the decades of the persecution of Soviet Jewry.
Es brennt, bei unseren Städten aber brennt. Weise Winden mit Radosen reißen, brechen und zu blasen, starker noch die wilde Flammen, als herumschein brennt. Und ihr steht und kifft das soll sich mit verlebte Hand. Und ihr steht und kifft das soll sich unser stetes Brenn. Es brennt. Lach es brennt, es kann holile kommen der Moment, das ganze steht und mit uns zusammen soll er weg in Nacht in Flammen bleiben, wenn die Nacht erschlacht schwarze Puste brennt. Und ihr steht und kippt das sei sich mit verlegte Hemd. Und ihr steht und gibt das Eisig unser stetes ist nur in euch allein gewöhnt. Ob du Stöchel, die seid teuer, nimm die Kehle im lechten Feuer, lecht mit euer Regenblut, weißt, was ihr nur könnt. Und ihr steht und kippt das Häuser mit verliebte
Brent, written by Mordechai Gebertig in 1939, it foretold the fate of the Jews as the Brent. That was sung by Jan Pierce. It is on fire, my brothers. Our village is burning. Malevolent winds are furiously tearing, breaking the walls and scattering flame. The furious conflagration is spreading all about us, and you stand by with folded arms looking on as our village is on fire. It is on fire, brothers. It is on fire. The fateful moment is approaching when our whole village with us in it will collapse in fire and ashes, and nothing will be left but, as after a battle, charred and blackened walls. And you stand by with folded arms looking on as the town burns. It is burning, brothers. It is burning. Help can come from only one source, from yourselves. If your village is dear to you, take pails and buckets to extinguish the flames. Extinguish them even with your own blood. Show what you can do. Yet you stand by with folded arms, looking on as the village burns. It is burning. It is burning. As Brent by Mordecai Gabertig. This is Charlie Bernhardt at WSOU 89.5 FM. I'm at 201-762-8950 if you have any comments. This evening we're commemorating the Holocaust with certain words and music. Many of you recognize the man who was speaking prior to as Brent, as Meir Kahane. We may not always agree with everything that he says and does, but I think he had quite a bit to say there that unfortunately was quite true. As we know, during the Holocaust, many cantors and among other people, of course, were killed or affected by that the terrible, terrible situation. And of course, Gershon Sirota, who was one of the great cantors of that period, was born in 1874. With the outbreak of the war, Sirota was imprisoned in the Warsaw Ghetto with his family and the other Jews of that city. He conducted High Holy Day services in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1941. 2 years later, Cantor Gershon Sirota was murdered with his entire family during the destruction of the Warsaw Ghetto on the last day of Passover. Let's hear Sirota with Mogon Avos. Was Gershon Sirota, who was killed in the Holocaust. In Germany, there was a man by the name of Joseph Schmidt. At the peak of his career in the early 30s, Joseph Schmidt was called the German Caruso. Appearances followed each other in rapid succession, and the sales figures of his records reached astronomical proportions. On both stage and screen, his voice soon conquered the world. The public idolized him. Then followed extensive tours and 6 years of triumph in the world's greatest concert halls in London, Vienna, Budapest, and America. In 1937, he returned from his tour a celebrated man with the plaudits of the world ringing in his ears, but to a Berlin that seemed to have changed out of all recognition. He found that he was being avoided. The few friends he had left advised him to leave. He was a Jew. The singer, who had brought happiness to millions, was forced by circumstances to leave Germany. So he went to Belgium, and when Brussels fell and was occupied by German troops, he returned to America for a short while, then settled in Switzerland. In 1942, Joseph Schmidt died of a heart attack in an internment camp near Zurich. The Jewish community buried this most modest of artists in the cemetery of Friesenberg. For a few splendid years, his name had appeared among the greatest, only to perish suddenly in the darkness of a cruel epoch. His gravestone reads, "A star fell." Let's hear Joseph Schmidt.
Mach ein trübes Gesicht, lachend will ich dich nur sehen, dann bist du doppelt schön. Sei doch voll Zuversicht, denn die Zeit heilt alles weh, ja, sei dir. Kannst du beim Sonnenstrahl, bei warmen Schwan, niemals reiste verziehen, was auch immer mag geschehen, wirst du es auch verstehen. Launisches Glück kehrt nie zurück, wieder dahin mit leichtem Sinn, doch wie's geschieht, im Augenblick, trage erneut rasch erwacht. Die Rief, die Träute,
fell, Joseph Schmidt. Well, not every famous cantor or Jew suffered the fate of Sirota and Schmidt. There was Moshe Koussevitzky. As the Nazis bombed Warsaw in 1939 and the city became more and more fearful, Koussevitzky conducted regular services in shelters and cellars. Practically his last act in beleaguered Warsaw before its surrender was to chant the Yom Kippur services underground. The congregation was even joined by some despairing Christians. Arrested by the Gestapo, he was scheduled to be sent to the awesome Treblinka prison. The Nazis even released a false report that he had been executed. However, he was rescued by non-Jewish members of the Polish underground who recognized his importance as an artist. Dressed in Nazi uniforms They appeared at the prison with forged orders and spirited Koussevitzky away over the River Bug to Bialystok in Russian territory. Happily, his family was rescued soon after and reunited with them. Let's hear Moshe Koussevitzky with Hashem Moloch.
Hashem Moloch Geyos Loveish Loveish Hashem Ois Yisrazo
sitter at the words Ani Mamin, I cannot help but recall that fateful day some 35 years ago. I was just a child then, but the memories of that day are locked in my mind forever. Sainted father of blessed memory was holding me in his arms, well aware of the impending disaster. I could barely hear his words above the sound of blasting shells and gunfire outside our small home. My mother and sister had already been killed by the Nazis, and we knew it was just a matter of time before we would be found. Trembling with fear, but there was my father, speaking to me his final words with great pride and courage. I can still remember each and every word as if they had been spoken just yesterday. And it is an honor to be a Jew. You must be proud of it as long as you live, and never lose your faith in Hashem, even if it means being tortured or killed for it. I remember hearing the footsteps outside our door, and how my father shoved me under the bed. With tears in my eyes, I watched in horror as the door burst open. And even as the soldier raised his gun to fire, my father screamed with his every bit of strength, "Ani ma'amin be'emuna shelema."
This is Charlie Bernhout. This evening we commemorated Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust. Come back next Thursday evening. We're at 201-762-8950. Thank you for letting me join you this evening. 201-762-8950. Shalom, everyone.
Okay, now we're back to 2021. This is Charlie Bernhout. This was Yom HaShoah, and next week, this week you'll also be hearing Yom HaAtzmaut being celebrated in a few days. Thanks for joining with me. It still boggles the mind to think that this was recorded 40 years ago. Yeah, some great stuff, great stuff. Thanks for joining with me. Don't forget to tell your friends about the program. Remember that word of mouth is one of the best forms of advertising. So shalom, everyone. Shalom.